And I don't know if you guys can see messages that I put in the chat before you joined, but so you might see it twice or you might see it once. I just wanted to start with an apology for anybody who posted something during a four-hour period on Monday. I just found out Grant was playing around. We've had a lot of people from odd countries trying to create accounts in our Rec North learning space. And they're sort of just like spammers or wannabe hackers. And so he was playing around with some security things and then realized he changed something he didn't want to change. So then he had to revert the whole system back 4 hours. So whoever posted, Nathan and Melanie and Igor, I know you guys all posted in that time frame. So if for some reason you go back into the forum where you posted, or forums in the case of Melanie and Igor, and find that your things are missing, if you could repost, that would be great. Nathan, I put yours in there because I still have the email, but I couldn't access the file that you attached to it. So apologies for that. It was our tech guy playing around, so it wasn't a ghost or anything like that. So welcome to, this is our second conference call for VS-102 proposal writing. And today I'm hosting this call from the traditional and unceded territory of the Shoshala Nation on the Sunshine Coast in BC. And so last week we dug into what proposal writing looks like from a funder's perspective. And this week we're going to start working on proposals. And we're going to use three different steps. So it'll be how we turn an idea that we have into sort of a project, and then how we create that project into a proposal or a funding application that somebody would actually fund. So we did talk about last week about you guys having your ideas so that you can start to shape what your idea looks like, and how hopefully it's something that you have approval to do from, whether it's an SAO or a supervisor or a CAO, depending on where you are. And then, thanks, just reading the comments in the chat. Aren't you glad to know that you're not going crazy? So it's great to have something that's manageable. So you don't want to come up with an idea that's a $100,000 project, because that probably takes more than the 3 to 4 weeks that we have for you to draft something. So something a little bit more manageable, something that's doable, something that's doable. So that would be great. Hi, Misha, I'll just get you to mute yourself. There we go. Okay, perfect. So we've got Misha, so I'm going to pop Misha in the circle. I'm guessing that she's somewhere between Melanie and Nikki's temperature, so in Whitehorse probably. Okay, great. So let's. What we're going to do is, some of you have already started shaping your idea, so that's really great. We have another conference call next week as a whole group. Hi, Holly's little one. Aww. Everyone wave hi. Hello. Welcome. And so what you can do for the fourth week is, I do have in the learning space, it's under week three, there's a link. And if you'd like to work with me for 30 minutes to sort of help you take your draft proposal, like if you need some help figuring out language or contents or structure, you can schedule a 30-minute time with me. And if you want to schedule it sooner, that's great, because I might need to add some more times. And you can always cancel. Like if you feel like, oh, I booked some time with Caroline and I don't need it, I'm totally okay with that. I'm pretty flexible. And for anybody who would like extra time, we do have an extra hour today after this call and an extra hour after next week's call. But I'm also happy for you to let me know, and we can set up a time that works for both of us at any point in time in the next 3 weeks. Because this learning event is probably, out of all of them, our second hardest one. The next one is the hardest one. So it's great to, you know, have that support if you need it. This learning event is also a little bit individualized, because each of you probably have different ideas and different things that you're working on. So hopefully that makes sense. We're just going to begin with a round of introductions. And when you introduce yourself, if you can tell me a little bit about your project idea. And I also have a job for the rest of you to do when you're listening to the introductions. So what I'd like you to do is, as you listen to each other's sort of idea for what your project's going to be, I want you to think about the what, why, who, where, when, and how questions to ask about each person's project. And if you have any questions that might help them shape it, either jot the question down on a piece of paper and send it to them later, or pop it straight into the chat, because I think I can actually download the chat and share it with you. So I'll give you an example. Let's say Igor is introducing himself and he's telling us about his idea for the project. A question I might have for Igor is, what information do you have that shows the need for your project? And I would write that down on a piece of paper to send to Igor later or put it in the chat. And the questions are starting on slide 16, mostly listed on slide 17. So if somebody's missing a bit of information, help them shape that with your questions. I did something similar to this just with some Nunavut youth ambassadors in Iqaluit on Sunday. They were planning a community engagement project, and it was really great. They put the project on a big flip chart, and then everybody put sticky notes on there to ask them questions about it, and it helped them think of things they needed to consider. And Kumanatik, don't worry about it. I will catch you up. I just wanted to chat to you for a few minutes. I know you've been traveling. Did you go to Winnipeg too? Yeah, so Kumanatik's had 2 weeks of travel and takes a long time to get out of Nunavut and back in, especially with weather. So just listen in today. You don't have to share any ideas. You can just introduce yourself and skip the idea. And same with anybody else. I don't want to put you on the spot. If you haven't had a chance to think about what you're doing, don't worry about it. Or you can sort of say, well, maybe this or this. Does that make sense? So, in our circle then, Igor, just like this first, because you're the coldest community at minus 37. So, if we can, I'll pop in the chat what I'm going to ask you to do once more. So, if you can introduce yourself and take 60 seconds or less to tell us about what you're thinking about, the idea you want to shape into a project and a proposal. And then everybody else just listen and see if you can pop some questions for Igor either in the chat or if that's not possible, just on a sticky note that you can later send to him. Go ahead, Igor.
Thank you. My name is Igor. I live in Tulita. And as you mentioned, the coldest place today with minus 37 degrees. And regarding my project is a regional youth sporting event project. And the planning dates are in February, and what activities will be due as part of this project? It will be for the entire Satu region, and we invited all the communities within the Satu region, so we expect to have participants from 4 different communities. And regarding the activities as part of this project, it will be a sporting event with 3 sports, namely ping pong, volleyball, and hockey. That's, I think, in 60 seconds, the shortest information. If you have any questions, please let me know.
That's great. Thank you. And so that was the application that you shared in last week's forum, right?
Yes.
Okay. So there's my question. If anyone else has questions for Igor, I'm curious when the deadline for the funding application is, and I was also hoping you could share a link to where somebody from NWC could find that online too. Awesome. And okay. You don't have to have a question for Igor, but it's really helpful to ask him questions. So some of the other things I might be curious to know is what communities you're working with in your region. That might be interesting to people who are in NWC, like in Hay River, for example. Thanks, Igor. Okay, let's go to Kumnapik. Just maybe introduce yourself, and if you have an idea, that's great. If you don't, no worries. We'll just say pass on sharing your idea.
Acting Immigration Director for Igorit. Right now I might need to have to skip for this one.
Yeah, and for those of you in Nunavut, Arpan yesterday on Facebook posted a list of some ideas about funding applications coming up. So that might be a good place to start. And one of the ones that's a really easy small application that's coming up that any of you on the call might be interested in is the Participation June chat. I can't quite remember all the title for it off the top of my head, but it's the June sort of activity challenge. And I think it's even less money this year. It's like maybe $2,000. So it's not a huge funding application, but it's a great way to maybe offer an activity or a few events for your community to get active. And that's something that any of you on this call might be interested in. So thanks, Kumanopic. Okay, next we go over to Nathan, where it's minus 33. So Nathan, if you'd like to unmute and introduce yourself, and if you have an idea, share what your idea is with us.
Yeah, my name is Nathan Ananout. I'm the rec coordinator for Baker Lake Nunavut. I'm running a 2-year dance program. This is our second year. I sent 7 kids to Toronto after they learned how to do modern hip-hop dance. I brought a dance choreographer from Toronto to Baker Lake every 3 weeks for 6 months, and then they would practice for that entire week and then learn the new dance routine and then practice at home or at my community center 3 times a week, 2 or 3 times, depending. And anyway, paid for everything, accommodations, food, where I just gotta get airfare. That's 7 kids went last year, 20 kids are expecting to go now.
Wow.
I don't know what I'm gonna do. You know how expensive it is from Baker Lake to Toronto for one person, but try to send 22 youths and I don't wanna break any hearts.
So, do you have to reapply for the funding, or did you get funding for 2 years?
Last year I got $50,000 funding from the Wellness Family for they're based in Iqaluit, they're for Nunavut. And then this year, last year it was $30,000, this year it was $50,000. Outside Looking In gave us a discount, $20,000 for the introductory. They're a charitable organization that only deal with indigenous communities. So, all I have to do is pay for the airfare. So they'll be staying at Camp Rock, with like 200 other Aboriginals from across the country. They'll be learning canoeing, swimming, archery, other indigenous games. Mostly free games or like Métis, like Aboriginal games. I'm trying to get them to introduce new games as well, but we're like a pilot project for Inuit to join. I think Outside Looking In's been around for like more than 10 years. So, but yeah, since they leave in May, it's right after the fiscal year. That's the problem I'm having. Every organization says, we can help. And then there's, next fiscal year, you're going to have to get in touch with us in the fall. And it's like, it's very difficult. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, if anybody has any ideas, it would have to be sort of more national funding. If anyone has any ideas that you know of from your region, province, territory, or nationally that you can suggest to Nathan. Because sometimes dance falls between, like it's more recreation, it doesn't fall under sports, or sometimes, but it also can fall under culture. So if you know of any sources, maybe you can share those with Nathan. Thanks, Nathan, for sharing that with us. Awesome. Okay, Holly, over to Yellowknife. And if it doesn't work for you to talk too long, that's totally okay, too.
Hi, I'm Holly. I'm the recreation coordinator at Avens. Well, one of the three recreation coordinators. This is Quinn. She's my study buddy today. So my idea I had for a project was to revamp our current library cart that we have so that our seniors can have books to read or audio books and get devices that they can use. Because a lot of them want to read books, but we don't really have a big variety. And I was thinking also with that project is making a communication board for our residents who don't speak English and have it on the library cart for new residents who come. But
so would
that
help people translate?
The communication board, so it would have like the basic things that they say, like tea in their language, coffee, food, that sort of thing, so that staff can have it with them. You're just busy today.
That's great, and I didn't read your post yet, but you have an idea where you can get funding.
Yes, there is the Community Literacy Development Fund through NWT.
Excellent. Well, thank you. So if anyone has, I see some comments for you about your beautiful daughter.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Has any questions for Holly, go ahead and post those in the chat too. Thanks, Holly. Okay, let's go over to Courtney down to Hay River then.
So my project is Healthy Aging at the Hay River Community Center. It's actually a continuation of something that we began last year with support from the New Horizons for Seniors program from the Government of Canada. And it's a series of physical fitness classes, sports programs, arts and crafts events, and social events designed to give seniors somewhere to go and gather and have programs specifically for them. We've also been developing mentorship opportunities for them so that they can run their own programs, so they can kind of pick and choose what they want access to. And we started doing it because in 2022, I need to get my natural disasters correct here, we've had a few in Hay River. 2020, yeah, it's been outrageous. Whispering Willows was our seniors' home, and they have a really beautiful gathering area there, and it flooded, when our community flooded.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was destroyed in there, and for quite a long period of time, everything had to be repaired, so they didn't have anywhere to go, any specific area to go and gather. So we began that here to give them somewhere to go and some programming specifically for them. Since then, they've repaired their building, which is wonderful, but we still have quite a large number of seniors who have been coming here to our, we've got yoga classes, we've got social programs that run in the morning, we've got aqua fit, pickleball, all kinds of stuff. So we are trying to continue that here moving forward.
That's great. You guys have had a really hard time in your community over a few years. So I think it's 3 evacuations in 2 years. So. That sounds like a great initiative. I've got a couple of questions, so I've just popped them in the chat for you. And if anybody else has any questions, go ahead and pop those in. So if we're working to warm up, let's go Melanie, Nisha, and Nikki. So Melanie, over to you.
I'm Melanie from Watson Lake. And the program that I'm looking into, and I was a little bit inspired by it from my recreation gathering visit, where people from the Yukon government introduced the food literacy program. And so my idea is to actually offer this over here and hopefully get the seniors as mentors for this program, but also other community members. I'm already talking to community members for cooking, baking classes, and then in summer for gardening classes. So that would be not only the cooking and baking and gardening, but also that kids learn the value of nutrition and how to budget and all these neat things to concentrate a little bit more to food security, especially now that we all struggle with inflation and high food prices. So it would be good to learn how to budget and how to prepare your own food, and ideally bring it home to family. We had like a cookie decorating class in December for Christmas, and that was actually really well received. And it was like that we put this together with the seniors to also close the gap between those two demographics, like, you know, have seniors together with the young children. And I hope that this will work out. So the food literacy program offers between $500 and $5,000. And this is an idea for now. I have started talking about it to town hall and to community partners, but
hopefully over the next 3 weeks we can help you shape your idea into your project and then into your funding application. So Nisha's just popped in there that the grant's pretty easy to do, and you're exactly right. Tina's amazing to work with. So
yeah, that's encouraging.
So just going back through the chat before we move on to Nisha, thanks for the update on that, Courtney. And I will share with you guys the CPRA has a Healthy Eating and Recreation Centers initiative. They've been posting it for maybe a couple of weeks now, or they just started posting just before Christmas. If anybody else on the call can find the link faster than me, feel free to pop that in there. It is posted on CPRA's website or Facebook page is where I saw it, but it should be on their website too. Melanie, there's a hint for you from Nisha and Nisha.
Yeah,
okay, great. Yeah. And then I have a question for all of you to consider that I just popped in the chat too, but maybe we'll come back to that one. Let's go to Nisha and then to Nikki. So Nisha, we're doing it by temperature. So are you, what's the temperature in Whitehorse today?
That's such a good question because I don't actually know. I was just
cold.
bring my dog in.
Okay. I'll see if I can tell you what it is. Minus 18, so you're a little cooler than...
I felt it was kind of warmer, though. Yeah.
Okay. Well, on to you then. So if you wanted to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the project that you're shaping.
Yeah, so I'm actually excited to introduce myself as the new executive director for the Yukon Council. I'm definitely here because I'm actually doing that right away. But I'm still working with Climate Reality, so I'm doing two part-time deals on it. So the funding thing is really relevant. I am working on a Arctic Inspiration Prize for a youth coalition for food security. This has been a long time coming, and the project has changed so much, but it got to the point that we realized we have limited capacity, and there's so many food things that are happening or organizations already in the Yukon and across the north. So we are just developing kind of a youth advisory board that will run under the Territorial Agri-Food Association in Yellowknife. And and this will just be an opportunity for youth across the north to be supported in their own initiatives in the community to start their own food projects, or have, if they have questions or they're interested in getting in the sector, then we're kind of a more comfortable spot to talk to. And we also will be providing the voice of youth in a lot of these different events that are happening around the north. So that's kind of in a nutshell what this is about. We have quite a few collaborators already. Even the government is interested in, I'll be attending a conference next month to pitch some of this idea to other funders and stuff. So there's like a lot of interest in other projects that we want to be a part of, but I think right now we really just need to just create this board and create this network of youth across the north to have a safe place to talk about this stuff. So, yeah.
Great, thanks, you. So if anyone has any questions for Misha, you can pop them into the chat. And if you're in the same territory and you're doing something sort of bigger than your community, think about if there's anyone on a call that you might be able to pull into it or link some way or another. So just some suggestions. Let's go to Nikki, and then welcome, Julianne. I noticed that you joined the call, and congratulations, Misha, on your new position. So that's great. Over to you, Nikki, and I was telling Nikki I love her little, you guys see, she's got a flower after her name. It looks really nice.
I had a lot of time on my hands. I'm Nikki. I'm from Flin Flon, Manitoba. I was the recreation administrator for the city of Flin Flon, but due to budget tightening and staff reductions, I actually lost my position on the 12th. So I have no ideas, and we'll have to skip, but similar to Courtney, I was actually helping them with the grant with New Horizons for seniors and stuff, but right now I got no ideas.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that, Nikki. That's so stressful, especially after the holidays.
A little bit, but I'm okay.
Okay. Well, I just signed up, for those of you who are in the leadership program, we're getting 12 people from the Manitoba Aboriginal Sport and Recreation Council joining us they'll start next week. So I'll keep my ear to the ground to see if there's any opportunities for you, Nikki.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and if anyone else has any ideas, I know that the Recreation Parks Association of Nunavut, Dawn has always wanted to try, you know, your summer day camp program. She's always wanted to try piloting it in Manitoba. So, and she's actually from Flin Flon. Her parents live there. So you never know what connections you make, right?
That's true. I had missed last week, so I was considering just dropping because I wasn't in rec, but I realized now the last week of not being in rec, I actually loved my job. I loved, you know, putting out those programs and things for people, and but there's not much opportunities in Flin Flon with that, so I'm definitely open to making connections, and I want to see this through because I like rec.
That's what we're all about. So you guys keep your ears to the ground, see if you can come up with any way that we can pull Nikki into anything that we're doing. So, perfect. Thank you. And Misha, you've got your hand raised. Go ahead, and then we'll go to Julianna.
Yeah, Nikki, I just wanted to, I was sending you a message, but when I lost my job as rec director, I was pretty lost too. But follow your heart, and you'll find something that really fits you and your passion. And I've found, like, in my experiences, it's been a super amazing group and, like, team to support you, so we're here to support you, too.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that so much. I definitely, when I got the job, I didn't think, like, it was just something, the mind was shutting down, I was losing my position there, so I was just applying anywhere and got the rec job, and I didn't think anything of it, but I fell in love with it, just the community, it was just great. I loved it. So, I'm pretty lost right now, but like Misha just said, I'm listening to my heart and taking note of my interests and what's calling to me. So, I'll figure it out.
Well, stick with us and we'll see how we can support you too. So, you know, if you don't have a project in mind, that's totally okay. We can maybe chat afterwards and come up with a way that you can create something that still sort of fits but isn't massive or anything like that. So we'll do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, Julianna, over to you. Our circle this morning was, this is our first question, but we've been going around and introducing ourselves. Our circle's been based on temperature in communities. So I don't know what it is in Montreal today. But if you're able to unmute and tell us a little bit about the idea that you might want to shape into a proposal, I know you're probably working on more than one.
Yes. Hi, everyone. I apologize. I work at home. Just yesterday, I submitted the 3 grant applications. I didn't target yet. It's the most busiest time now, trying to try everything out. So I'm trying to see one that's going to be open in a few weeks, so I'm not just going to get it done before January 31st. And I didn't check yet the one that I'm going to do for the course, but I'm going to get it done.
That's totally okay. You know, you've been traveling, and Phil's coming off it, and a few other people. So not everybody has ideas, but listening to each other's ideas might help. So thanks for joining us.
Because do you want us to choose one that we're going to be, that's not going to be completed by the end of the, that we're going to complete by the end of the course? Or in the future, or how would you prefer?
Yeah, I mean, right now, if you don't have an idea right now, it's okay, you can pass. And if you, maybe you can hang on at the end of the call. I'm going to chat with Kuminopic at the end of the call, too, so maybe we can talk about something what's sort of going through your mind, and then we can kind of set you on in a direction that will work. Because I don't want anybody in this learning event to do a ton of work that you don't need to do. I just want you to do what's meaningful and relevant to you. So hopefully that makes sense, because it is a lot of work. And I know you're all very busy people. So maybe we'll just come back to that. If you can hang on after we wrap up the call, Juliana, that would be great.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So as you know, because we talked about this last week, funders will evaluate your proposal according to the plan that you present. So if you have a look at, I should be able to share my screen, and then then I can sort of talk to what we're doing here. So for that, let's see. Okay, so if we go to number 17, slide 17, you can see not too far. So what we're working on this week is we're taking this idea that we have, and we're using some questions to help create a project from that idea. And so we've talked about some of these questions. You might have written some questions down for someone who introduced their idea, if you can send them to them afterwards, if you have those. So it's really important then for us to sort of use these questions to carry out what we're trying to do and how we're going to achieve it. Because it doesn't matter if you're writing a funding application or a proposal for $500,000 or for $5,000, this funders is still going to ask the same questions. So I see that some of you might have gone in and done activity 4A, and some of you have definitely done 4B. 4A in the learning event is kind of like an interactive answering these questions so that you can start to shape your project, and that's actually what your required learning activity is for this week. Just keep in mind that it actually doesn't save your work if you're doing it online. So you can also download the template and use that. Just don't do all your work and then go, oh my gosh, it didn't save it. I just wanted to make sure that you're aware of that. So last week we talked about how you have to show how that your project fits the funder's application. And this week, we're really looking at some of these key considerations, such as making sure that your project is relevant to your organization, to your participants, to your stakeholders and partners, to your community, to your potential funders. I noticed I needed to update the activity number. This should be activity 4B, and a number of you have already done that. And it's just to give you an idea to think through, is what I'm thinking about doing meaningful and relevant? Because if it's not, your funder might pick up on it and they might not fund it. Your community might not support it. You absolutely don't want to jump into writing a proposal for a project that if you're working with a hamlet, your FAO or your CAO is not supporting. So it is quite important to make sure that what you're thinking about fits in that bigger picture. So what we're going to do is, I think some of you have already answered the questions that I have prepared now. So the questions that I have prepared now, you can see I'm going to ask you a little bit about how your project fits in with your community, and about some of the long-term impacts. If I've got a series of questions, so we'll go around a little bit faster. If you've already answered it or you don't know, you don't need to try and think of an answer. So you can say, I'd like to pass on that question and just listen. So we'll do it a little bit faster than our last round. So the questions that I have, then I'll pop them in the chat. And I think if you don't mind, we'll just go in the same order. We'll start with Igor again. It might be just easier, and then I'll switch up the order for the next question. So you may have already done this. If not, if you've already explained this, please don't feel like you have to say anything, just to say pass. So what I'm wondering is how the project that you just told us about fits in with what's already in your community or what's the gap in your community. So I'm going to jump in and use an example. Courtney, actually, you already explained this really nicely. You told us the context for your project, what happened, and what has led to where you are now. So that was great. And some of you might have already done this, but let's just do a quick round. I've got about 15 minutes remaining on the call. So if you can stick to about 15, 20 seconds for this, that would be great. So Igor, I know you explained that you're doing like a regional sporting program. How does that fit with what's existing or currently in your community or not in your community?
I would say this is part of the sport programming, and besides everything that we have that is not connected with sport programming, our community is huge on hockey and huge on ping pong, and that will fill for sure some of the community members' inquiries about having a sporting event, and it will be great, I believe.
That's great. And the other thing I noticed with those three activities is they're all activities at the Arctic Winter Games. So, it's really great to sort of build those sports in your community so your kids might have a chance to make an Arctic Winter Games team.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that might be something to put in your proposal if it's a proposal going to government. That might help.
Yes, but for this year, everything is done. We have actually three athletes from Tulita that go to Arctic Winter Games in Alaska, and they're all in volleyball.
Wow, that's excellent. Good for them.
Yeah.
Well, then you can work on the sports because the 2026 Arctic Winter Games are in Whitehorse.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Igor. Kumanovic, I'm guessing that you'll just pass on that question because you're still formulating sort of what your idea is. Nathan, do you want to tell us how the dance program, it sounds like there's a huge interest. You've already started it, but you still need to find funding. What's that doing for your community? How's it fitting, or how's it filling a need in your community?
I know Big Rick's really into hockey, and the Big Rick Youth Athletic Association, they always take care of the badminton, the volleyball, the futsal, the ping pong. They handle all these programs already, so I don't need to. Like, why fix something that's not broken? Like, I can't do anything. They do a fantastic job. So what I'm trying to do is do something different. Like, and a lot of these kids never went anywhere after COVID, and like a lot of these kids don't even know how to socialize anymore. So I had to get them used to it again, and I saw a big change in them. They were all very quiet and timid. And while they're outgoing and walking and stuff, like, they're dressing up. They have style all of a sudden. Like, their kids are looking up to them. They're role models now. It's like, it filled this emptiness that there was, like, in Baker Lake. And all the adults were like, oh, how come there wasn't programs like this when I was growing up, or all the elders. So I see them as like potential counselors, youth leaders, these mayors, because they're proud, they're confident, and they're seeing the world and coming back and then telling all the kids what they saw. Now every kid wants to be just like them. So every community should take part in something like this so that they can bring something back to their community. Like, it's an amazing program, like, outside looking in. So, and yeah, and the way I got funding was through family wellness. Like, so it fits perfect. So amazing experience for the kids.
That's great, and it's really important in your community to find something for those kids that are being left out, whether it's out of sport or yeah. out of other activities, and to give them a place in their community. So thanks for explaining that, Nathan. And when you're looking for more money for this year, maybe even get the kids to do some little short 10-second video clips, you know, saying what a difference it's made.
I also attach that where I got funding last year's for, I used the Women's and Girls in Grant Initiative.
Okay.
That's where I got the initial funding for the $50,000. Holly Ferguson, she's with Family Wellness and for Nunavut. So I'm sure there's a wellness in your territory or your province that can fund all this too, since it's, like I said, it's a wellness program.
And outside looking in is specifically for Indigenous youth, right?
Yeah, it's only for Indigenous youth. And it's a charity too, so it is a tax write-off for a lot of organizations. So.
Yeah.
Incentive. So.
Thanks so much for sharing that, Nathan. That's super great to hear how what you're doing for those youth and giving them a place in their community and something to be proud of, so thank you. Holly, I think you've explained a little bit about your project, but did you want to add anything else about maybe replace the word community with organization? So, you know, it sounds like you do need an upgrade on your library and reading materials, but...
So I wanted to upgrade our library because we have a lot of newer residents now who like to read, and we don't have the options for them. So I wanted to give them the options. And I know we also used to partner with NWT Literacy Council for families and youth to come into Avens and read to residents. And I'd like to bring that back as part of the program as well.
That's so great. And that's really important to make those community connections. So thank you for that. Courtney, did you have anything to add about how the fit of what you're looking at with your community? I think you've explained a fair amount, but anything else that came to mind while everyone else was talking?
I just wanted to mention too that with this project, that we partnered with the Hoover Senior Society to help identify mentors who might be willing to like lead different sessions or identify seniors who might be willing to lead different sessions and act as mentors. We've also partnered with community counseling to offer meditation sessions, and with the library, we do some of the programming over there as well.
That's great. And I was wondering, like both yourself and Melanie talked about using elders as like helping them step into a mentoring role. I know that like in Whitehorse Elder Active Recreation Association that Raquel has tried that, and it have no luck with it. Like the elders and seniors, they have participating, just want to be participants. I'm wondering if you have any quick tips on how to make that work.
I don't really have any tips yet. We've had like minimal success so far, and mostly it's been out of like me just building personal relationships with them and finding out, like I've got two women who run pickleball sessions in the spring. And it was me finding out that they're really passionate about it and like playing pickleball. So I kind of encouraged them to step into that role, and now they really like it. But it's been a struggle, definitely. I've been searching for senior fitness instructors and offering to like pay for their certification and stuff like that for months, and haven't had any luck at all yet. But we're going to keep trying.
Okay, so thank you for that. It sounds like, you know, those one-on-one relationships, it's a slow process, but probably more important than just putting out a program where they can come and become mentors. So thanks, Courtney. That was a little bit of a side note on my part. Apologies for sidetracking the conversation, but I think it's important because it's something that many of you try and do is to set up mentoring, whether it's elders and seniors as mentors or whether it's youth coming in and working with them. So going to Melanie, any thoughts? I think you also have explained how this project sort of fits in with your community context, but anything else to add to that?
Maybe I'm going to answer to the how to get seniors involved. They weren't very active
I understand in the past, but that has changed for the Signpost Seniors Association, so they have become quite an active board now. And when I reached out to them, I tried to put a lot of enthusiasm and explanation in my email to say, like, you do a lot of things there, but it would be also great if you do certain things at the recreation center where it allows other people to come and actually join whatever you're doing, may that be a crib tournament or baking and cooking or whatever else, right? So they have their programs there, but I want them to come here, and I'm, it's just constant conversation about it, and there is interest. We had the crib tournament where youth came out and battled their seniors in that tournament, so it was good. And then we had like this cookie decorating contest where there were a lot of senior ladies coming out watching over the kids doing the decorations. And so I tried to keep this going. And I don't think we have like an existing program other than we have a community garden that people can rent I don't have all the words for it, a bed for it. Or like a box,
mm-hmm.
and it costs $50 for the season or $50 for the month, I'm not even sure. And but that is just for the community altogether, and I want to have this more specific towards kids. And I know there is a law for gardening in this town, and because there, I was asked if in summer we would like make a tour through people's gardens, which we didn't, but I know people are proud of their gardens, so I think there will be interest of mentorship for gardening. I'm positive on this, and with this positivity, I will approach people and then see what I get in return.
That's great, and I mean, obviously, you know, Jenny Skelton has got an amazing garden there in Boston, right?
Yeah, Jenny is involved in so many things. I probably don't want to have her as a mentor because she is like involved in almost everything, and wow, this woman is a powerhouse. Yeah. Locker.
That's great. And yeah. Lisa has a suggestion for your vote, like a free box, so that people can donate food from maybe their gardens or something. Is that what you're thinking, Nisha, back to the community?
Yeah, like if $50, as soon as I hit 50, I'm like, oh, I'm less likely to do it. But maybe if there was a subsidized box or something, if they gave 50% of their food that they grew in the back to the community, and maybe if they offer like a food box for a few people or youth, for example.
Great, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so, Nisha, I think you've also explained a little bit about your project in a broader context than just your community, like definitely across the north. Was there anything else you wanted to add for that question? Like what gap are you feeling? What niche? How do you see that fit?
I think I can just say like the inspiration a lot of it came from my work in Beaver Creek when I worked with the youth on that garden. So I kind of mentored them, and I just leaving that project, I saw the need for like continuing that type of work. So and then as well as like I had youth from across the north and in DC reach out to me about my food sovereignty project. So it kind of showed that there was a bit of interest in other youth working on localized projects. So one thing I am curious about learning about, I guess, is how to honor the, I guess, retelling or the information transfer of elders to youth and honor that rather than just say that it hasn't been done, because that's so untrue, especially when you think of like, elders and stuff, and how do we honor that in a way that is like supportive and not just like rebranding it. So
if anyone has any ideas, they can chat with you on that one. Okay, Nikki, I know you don't have any projects at the moment, but if you think about your community, is there one gap that you noticed? Like I was just working with some some youth ambassadors from Kingite, which is, or Kate Dorset in Nunavut, and they said there's not one program outside of school time for children under grade 4. So
from your experience, can you see a gap in your community, something that if you were in the right position, you would see a project to fill?
Yeah, I really try to encourage them to offer more after-school programs for kids and, programs that are in the morning for toddlers and moms, like a family room type of thing. Like, our toddler gym was only every Saturday, and it was such a hit. And I know, especially in the winter, the moms are going stir crazy with babies in the house. I see Holly nodding. Yeah. They're a lot when you're trapped in the house with them. So I kept pushing for that, but a lot of it came down to funding because our programmer, she had, the 9-to-5 job, but we had a student come in for the drop-in sports for adults, but no one would do that for the kids. And I was like, the kids don't always want to come out on the weekends when they're, or even during the week, I guess, they have hockey and all that. So I kept trying to push for something for the kids on weekends or after school, especially that work in hockey.
That's great. Well, that will help us keep things in mind in case anything comes up that can be separate and distinct. So thank you. And it's hard to see those things and try and push for them because it does come down to budget and money and support and people.
And there's a real lack of volunteers. Like I've watched it in theaters, probably similar in other communities. Just people don't want to volunteer as much anymore. They don't care. They got to I've tried to start incentives. Well, I tried to pitch giving incentives, but it fell on deaf ears, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, hopefully things will turn around sometime, but we do have a volunteer learning event, but I don't have any answers either. I hear you, and I see Nathan nodding his head very vigorously. Yeah, the same experience there, too, so.
You gotta get these things. You gotta pay volunteers or give them $100 worth of swag, and then they'll work for you for free.
And then you still have to have the money to buy the swag. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was that, Nikki?
I just said it kind of goes against volunteering now because we have to pay them or give them incentives. No one will do anything for free since they know, and there are some really great people out there. So few and far between, I'm noticing.
Yeah, so if we have to pay our volunteers, then where does the money come from? So it either gets taken away from programs that we could be running and offering, or we have to charge more money to the programs, or we have to write more proposals, like in Juliana's case. So definitely a big challenge.
And
I noticed sorry, go ahead.
And I just realized if you charge more money for programs, then we get lesser numbers.
Yeah. I know, it's like a lose-lose.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll come back to that in our volunteer learning event to see if anybody has any great strategies. I just want to respect everybody's time. I noticed we're 1 minute after the hour. Nisha, if you can hold your thought for 1 minute, I'll just ask Juliana if she wants to add to the conversation. Juliana, I know you've been writing a lot of proposals, but I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about perhaps about how you make sure these things fit with what's in your community.
I was going to mention, for the what you said, that make sure that your SEO is on board. Actually, what we try to do, what I have been asking is, because I don't want to jump in on all opportunities that we have around, because sometimes we can just pile up on grants and money, and after not being able how to spend that, we are really trying to follow a plan that we have for the department. And once we see the opportunities, they will fit in what we're doing. So usually I don't ask him for the permission or authorization, but we're like, okay, this year we need to improve elders. For example, yesterday one of the proposals that I did was for elders. So we know that the elders are asking for gathering and for active lifestyle. So once we see something from Department of Health, if it's from Recreation, we will know. What are the same thing for the youth we're looking for money for, because we want to keep on with the youth and elders may advise ourselves. So we know that we need money from that. So we have been talking a lot about the like annual plans and everything. Knowing where you want to, what you want to do and where you want to go is what is helping us, not just jumping on every single opportunity that we have around.
Thanks, Juliana. And a couple of really good messages there is, one, whenever you're creating projects, proposals, asking for money, make sure they fit into a bigger plan that you have, whether it's an annual plan or a strategic plan or a recreation master plan. But also, you know, make sure you've got the endorsement and approval. The other thing I might add to what Juliana said is, think of your own capacity. So if you are the only recreation coordinator, recreation director in your organization or your community, trying to write or trying to run five different projects with five different funding sources is really, really hard to do. So you might have to prioritize and pick one or two that actually work. So thanks so much for that, everyone. That was a good conversation today. Some of you might want to stay on the call after we finish. I just want you to keep in mind that a proposal or a funding application begins with an idea of how you might change or adapt the circumstances. So it's about change, because we're adding something, we're filling a need, as you've identified, we're enhancing things that we think are important for our community. And so this week you're going to be digging into planning. And your required learning activity is to, let me just go to the right page here. So it's to prepare a description of your project using those seven key questions that you'll find in activity 4A, I believe it is. I've changed the numbers, so I'll fix them up on the presentation slide because they don't match what they are anymore. So if you can share that description in the forum, that would be great. If you're still coming up with your idea or you want some help, stay on the call afterwards and I'll chat through that with you. And if you want to set up a one-on-one session with me on Wednesday, February 7th, go to activity number 7 and choose a time in that activity, and then I'll send you the link for us to connect. I'd like to thank all of you for joining today and for your time. Again, please stay on if you've got time and would like to chat a little further. And Courtney, I did pop, I'm not sure if you saw, I popped the CPRA link into the chat. And Igor, you saw the one about hockey. So that one, First Assist, we actually, Kuminopik and I met the gentleman who is a charitable organization who's running it. We met him in Ottawa, and really great. He was an NHL, the first Indigenous NHL player. And Kuminopik, do you remember what his name was? Was it John something or other? But he played with, like, Gretzky and all of those, Guy Lafleur and all of those sort of amazing hockey players. So he's doing a lot about giving back to hockey in small communities. So that's kind of a cool link to look at as well. Okay, well, thank you very much. Nick, merci, Maticho. Have a really great week, and please stay on. I'm just going to end the recording, but please stay on the call if you have questions. And we'll talk to all of you next week.